But not only was it volitional, but the worship they had was continual. Because if you read on down in the verse 20, they rose up early in the morning and they continued their worship service. Do I have anybody in here that say, I'm not just a worshiper on Sunday morning, but I'm a worshiper all week long? I wake up in the morning and say, thank you. I thank him throughout the day. I get on my knees at night and I thank him. I praise the Lord in my car at the red light. I thank him. I wish I had somebody. Some of us, we don't even understand what grace is. We think grace is when we say our grace over our food. No, grace is something that is far more than that. Grace is unmerited favor. And so since I got some favor from God, that leads me to want to worship him. Because if it had not been for the favor of God, I wouldn't be here today. If it hadn't been for the favor of God, who knows what would be going on in our life. Come on and say amen. Oh, glory be to God. But not only was their worship continual, because you find out that they worship God, and the Levites, they praise God. And then those who were singing stood up and they said, we got to give God a praise right here. And they begin to praise God. And the Bible said, not with a little voice, not with a whisper, but they begin to praise him with a loud voice. Do I have any praises in here? Anybody that say, I can open up my mouth? Oh yeah, you know they call.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised word of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Recorded are these words. When you have it, say amen. Now, for the rest, I'm going to give you another couple seconds. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's begin reading now. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, Jesus, the reason to rejoice. Jesus, the reason to rejoice. There are many of us who can attest to the fact that We and many others rejoice about many things. But one of the most important reasons for every born-again believer to rejoice is because of Jesus. I'm so grateful and thankful for this word this morning that reminds us afresh of what the children of God needed to know in a time when they were in captivity, when they were depressed and oppressed, some of the darkest days of their experience. The prophet Zechariah reminds them of this opportunity to know God's heart afresh. And my brothers and sisters, what is so amazing about this text is that it gives to us hope. Now, for them, they were in a dark place. They were in a difficult place. They were in a depressed place. But the man of God saw a vision of their future, and it was a blessed place. It was a bright place. It was a beautiful place. But it was all because of one person. And my brothers and sisters, so important is it for us to remember that if we know Jesus for ourselves, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're dealing with, He is able to turn that situation around. The children of Israel, if I will give you a little context, were in captivity under the reign of Darius the Great. Zerubbabel was the governor of Jerusalem at this time. Zechariah was the prophet whom God had shown this vision to. And he starts off this word with, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem." Now, there are four things I want you to see that I see in the text. The first thing I see in the text is merriment. Merriment. This is about being merry. But he says it at an odd time. Usually when someone is giving you a reason to shout, they give you the explanation first and then the exclamation last. But here, if it were Zechariah's desire to pull a depressed people in a dark place out of an oppression so deep that he had to put the rejoicing first before he even told them why. Listen to what he says again. Rejoice how? Greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Now, look at two words. Rejoice and shout. Rejoice is to be able to have joy greatly. But he says rejoice, and then he says shout, which suggests to me that they were in such a place. Have you ever known somebody who hadn't smiled in so long, who hadn't laughed in so long, who hadn't been happy in so long they forgot how to rejoice? So he had to tell them what to do, and that was to rejoice. But then he had to tell them how to do it, and that was shout. Lord, I wish I had somebody. So he says, rejoice greatly because of the greatness of what they had gone through. Was it for naught? No. It was actually because of their own sins, because of their own shortcomings, because of their turning their backs on God, that they had suffered for a while, but God was about to turn their situation around. Now listen at this, because I want you to see this. When he says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, that phrase was speaking to the whole of Israel, all 12 tribes of Israel. But when he said, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, that was specific to the city of Jerusalem and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, as you know, was the city of God. And so this was an important time because Zechariah was speaking to three main themes. One, restoration. Two, judgment. And three, he was speaking about triumph. He was speaking about restoration because they were still in captivity, but God saw their future and it looked mighty bright. So he told Zechariah, let him know what he is now won't always be. I've got plans for you. And so he shares with them this great and joyful news. So here again, you got to recognize he wanted to bring merriment in the midst of that deep, dark depression. So merriment is what I see. But I need you to see the next part deals with the Messiah, because he says, behold, behold what? Thy king cometh unto thee. Now, this is not just any king. Remember, they are under King Darius the Great, but that's not their king. Zechariah wants to remind them at this time, Jerusalem and Israel have no king. However, they are serving as servants, as slaves under King Darius. But now they are being reminded that God has a king that is above all kings. This reference is to the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. This is the king that would sit on David's throne forever. This is the king that would turn Israel's whole destiny all around. The Messiah, Jesus the Christ. This is whom scholars say that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John saw coming in his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Secondly, Zechariah was talking about judgment. One of the wonderful things about God was not only was he talking about the judgment of Israel, speaking about what they had done and why they were suffering, but he was making them to know that he heard their cries, saw their tears, and would not leave them in that situation. But not only that, but he would judge the nations around them, especially those that did to them the things they did to them. One of the things about God was that he would let Israel's enemies do evil things to them when Israel turned their backs on God. But when they turned back to God, God would always then turn around and fight for them. The ones he let overtake them, he would turn around and overtake them for his people. Isn't that just like God to show up even after we have been all kinds of evil, done all kinds of evil, messed up, act like we don't know God, don't belong to God. And then when we turn back to him and show him our repentant heart, he will turn our situation around because he loves us. Is there anybody in the house who can say, I walked away from him, but he's never walked away from me? Israel knows this too well. But then thirdly, Zechariah's message is about triumph. And that's why Jesus' triumphal entry comes. However, they were looking for David's Lord in the 24th Psalm. They were looking for this Lord high and lifted up, mighty and strong and mighty in battle. But that was not the way Jesus the Messiah was coming. He was not coming that way. Reason being is because he was coming to fight not men, but he was coming to fight the real enemy, Satan. He was coming to fight to save their souls and not just their skins. He was coming to do battle with the enemy for the souls of the saints who would trust him, believe in him, had faith in him. And so he came low, meek, and humble. I'll deal with that in just a moment. But I need you to know he was the Messiah that Zechariah saw and had spoken. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John gave their perspectives on his triumphal entry. Next thing I need you to see was his mission. His mission. His mission said he is just. He is just. The word just here translated means righteous. He is righteous. Why does Zechariah bring up he is just? Because there are so many unjust leaders, so many unjust rulers, so many unjust heads of state, so many unjust folk in leadership position that Zechariah wanted to remind them that he was just. He was righteous. What did that infer? That he would deal with them justly. He would deal with them righteously. And my brothers and sisters, isn't it good to know that you have a just and righteous God? One who is just enough to justify you as if you had not done anything when you trust him for your salvation. And conjunction here, tying this together, not only is he just, but having salvation. Having salvation. What does this mean? In the Old Testament, the word salvation had two major themes. One, to be saved, and two, to be delivered. So when it says, and having salvation, it literally meant he is salvation. Because he is able to save and he is able to deliver because he is the Savior and he is the deliverer. So the salvation you are looking for is in him. He had a mission to seek and to save that which were lost. That was the Messiah's mission. But then we move on to the mannerism of the Messiah. For it says, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Now, ESV, NIV, NLT, and the Message Bible all translate the word as donkey. And this word is important because it signifies the humility of Jesus and even that he chose to use for his triumphant entry. Listen, a donkey, not a noble steed, not a white stallion, like most kings would ride in on, showing their prowess, and many times behind them, the spoils of victory. No, Jesus chose to come another way. How did he want to come? He wanted to show you who he was. The word says lowly. That word is translated as humbly. Humbly. Matthew 11:29 says, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly. The word meek means gentle, and lowly means humble. Jesus is saying, I am gentle and humble. Now listen, that is not the characteristic of a strong leader. He's very different from the kings they knew in the past. His mannerisms were different from, his character was different from the kings of the past. He didn't have to use his power to show who he was. He used his humility to show who he was. Do you know a real man don't have to use his brawns to show who he is, especially if he got some brain. If he got power, he doesn't have to show it to know he could use it when he got ready. But he humbles himself so that he is approachable, so that he is able to draw to him those who ordinarily would be afraid of him. Listen, everything about Jesus is diametrically opposite of the kings of the earth. Listen, the kings of the earth had subjects come to them, but here was a king coming to his subjects. Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. And so you need to see that he was lowly, humble, meek, and gentle. Why? Because the people were already hurting. The people had already been misused and abused. The people had already gone through. They didn't need nobody making things worse, but they needed someone who could identify with them, who could touch and see and feel what they were going through. And so Jesus showed them through this prophecy of Zechariah and to the children of Israel in the New Testament how he himself came down to be with them, to fight for them, but also to be with them. Emmanuel, God with us. My brothers and sisters, listen as I close this message. There are so many important things about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem that speaks of things far beyond what any other preceding king had ever experienced in his entry back into his own town. Lots of people celebrated kings when they came back in their victory. But Jesus was coming in such a way that it mystified the leaders. It blew the mind of the leaders. Here he was, the Son of God. Should he have not been elevated above every king past him, every leader past him, and yet he has humbled himself beneath all of them to come in such a way as to show you his heart? For I am meek and lowly in heart. Heart. Not in head. Not in hand. But in heart. And my brothers and sisters, may I ask you a question? Isn't it better to have a king who has a heart than just one who has a head and a hand. And I'm so grateful our King Jesus is the reason to rejoice. These people had not rejoiced in so long. And even in our day and time, even though Jesus has come, that's a reason to rejoice. And for those of you who don't have him, I need you to know it's still a reason to rejoice, because for you, he's right here waiting for you to say, "Here, Lord, take my life. Come into my heart. Receive me." He's already here giving you a chance to turn your situation around. And too many of us don't understand the power that lies in the name Jesus. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, you have no idea how much power. I know you've read about it. And I know you've heard about it. And I know folk have talked about it. But until you've experienced it for yourself, you don't know what Jesus can do until you've had a personal relationship with him. No wonder the songwriter said, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. Sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The sinner rejoiced." That's what Zechariah told him to do. To see that fountain in his day. "And there may I, though vile as he, wash all." I said, "Wash all." I said, "Wash all my sins away." Has the blood of Jesus done that for you? Then somebody in the house this morning has a reason to rejoice. Has he picked you up?
Yes, sir.
Turning you around. I wish I had a real helper here. Has he blessed you, kept you, never forsake you? Is he with you? Does he walk with you, talk with you? Has he healed you, delivered you? Have I got a witness in the house? Do you have anything to rejoice in the name of Jesus? Has he been good? Is he good? Then somebody ought to rejoice and shout. Open up your mouth and shout. Glory! Glory! Give him praise. Jesus is the reason to rejoice. Our merriment is found in him. He is our Messiah. He's still on a mission. He's still seeking to save that which were lost. And he's still yet humble, because it is in his heart.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things.